Bibles, if you would, with us this morning into John chapter 19. John chapter 19, as you're turning, we would like to welcome everyone out this morning. And it's good to see each one that's out. Like Brother Jim said, our numbers are down. I don't know, y'all going to get another pastor or something soon. I keep running everybody off, I guess. I don't know. But we are blessed to be here, blessed to be with you this morning. And trust you'll be obedient to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart and life today. And let Him have His will and His way in your life. Amen. That's our desire. That's why we're here. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. And our relationship with Him. And we trust this morning that God would speak to your heart for those things that you stand in need of. We ask you this morning just to remember Brother Jimmy. I know he's... Before he left last week to go to New Mexico, he told me his gallbladder was bothering him. And when he got back, he was wanting Debbie's surgeon's name. And he texted me the other day. He got back Wednesday, I think it was Thursday. He wanted the name of the surgeon. So he's going to be facing surgery here soon. So just keep him in your prayer until that time that God just helps him with the pain and stuff. And then Brother Calvin goes in this week to have... his eye operated on Tuesday. He's got a detached retina. I think Joyce told him to sit down, and he jumped up, and she smacked him and smacked the sight right out of him or something. I don't know. But you pray for Brother Calvin and pray for the surgeons as they go and do what they're going to do this week. And then Sister Kathy has to have some surgery tomorrow, and we just ask you to remember her as she has some surgery that she's got to go through. It's going to be outpatient, but... You know, like Brother Craig Edwards told us one time, says, you know when it's major surgery? When it's on you. Amen. It sounds trivial or insignificant to everyone else, but when it's you, it becomes major. So let's remember these special needs this week. Amen. And then remember all our folks that are sick and unable to be with us. And I just lift them up in your prayers. If you found John chapter 19, we'd invite you to stand this morning. And we're going to jump back up into the last two verses of chapter 18. And pick our text up. But it says in verse 39 of chapter 18, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priest, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend, but whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? I remember Brother so-and-so. I remember Sister so-and-so. I remember the need that they had. And I remember when the church prayed to God, and God opened his arms of mercy and touched that life and met the need that was there. And I remember seeing God do this for this brother. I remember in my time of trial and in my time of trouble, I remember I was in a dark valley, and praise God, he was right there with me, and he touched my heart, and he thrilled my soul, and he helped me. Oh, behold the man, no, give us Barabbas. We forget so easily. We forget so easily. Oh, too forgetful. Too forgetful. That we would reject hearing him. We would reject surrendering and submitting ourselves unto him. Back in chapter 12, it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Oh, we forget so much. And we take for granted so much of the great things that he's done for us. Behold the man. And Caiaphas and the priest and the Jews that were gathered. It says in verse 6, the chief priests therefore and the officers. Saw him and they cried out saying, crucify him. Mark chapter 15 says, and the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye that I do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. We become too religious and too wrapped up in religion and have missed who Jesus really is. We're not worshiping him the way that the Bible says to worship him. We need to worship him in a form and a fashion. And we're denying the one that has the power. We're denying the one who the church is all about anyway. We're denying the one who gives the church its authority, its power, and its ability to make a change and to have an effect in a lost and a dying world. We become too religious. We was talking in the Sunday school class, and I'll remind you again, if you miss Sunday school class, especially the adult class, I know you miss a blessing. But that's all right. I won't even go there. I won't even go there. Not because of I'm the teacher of the adult class, but our adult class teaches itself. We share and we speak. But Peter said, arm yourself. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 1. I had read this a million times. I had never grasped this. He said, arm yourself, therefore, with the mind of Christ. Arm yourself. When you arm yourself, you know, we read the scriptures over in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which, you know, we think it's just going to grow there. But Peter says that we have to actively engage this for it to have an effect in our hearts and in our lives. Why don't you have a burden and a desire to be in the house of God like you should be, and put your stinking, no good, self-righteous religion aside, because you haven't actively sought for God's will to be accomplished in your life, and you haven't actively sought that the mind of God would be imparted unto you. Don't worry about curling your toes. Amen. Worry about your heart. Amen. Amen. We become so religious that we forgot who religion is supposed to be about anyway. Who our religion is supposed to be about. What our life as Christians is supposed to be about. Amen. We look around and we see the empty pews, and I wonder why they're so empty. And sometimes my wife will tell you, I blame myself for it. But I don't know. God hasn't told me to step down and to move yet. Sometimes I want to. I get discouraged, and I get to thinking, well, maybe if they had somebody else, the church would flourish. But, you know, it gets down to this. We've got to actively desire it. Amen. Arm yourself. Then you ought to go back and read that when you get home. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. It'll change your perspective on your religion. It'll change your perspective on what's important. It'll change your perspective on what God's will for your life is. It will change your perspective. What you want to do? You see, people don't want Jesus today. They want Barabbas. They don't want God's religion. They want the world's religion. And the problem is, so much of our church today, they don't want God's religion. They want the Barabbas religion. They want the world's religion. They want what the devil has and the devil's going to offer, and it just thrills their souls. I'm a Christian. I was talking last night with someone. Yeah, well, this, somebody, they said they're saved, but they don't have to go to church. They don't have to do this. That's not what God's word says. Somebody, they said they're saved, but they can go out here and do it. They can do it. They believe they just go do whatever they want to do. Live however they want to live. And everything's all right. It's not what God's word says. Amen. So-and-so says to say, but they go to church when it's convenient for them. When it works out for them. When it's just not going to interfere with all the other things in their life. We become too religious. When Jesus takes second place to anything else, anything else. When God takes second place to my wife, then I've just become too religious. God comes first. Then my family. Then my church. Outside of that, it's just vain religion. But you know the problem with America today? You know the problem with most of our churches today? If we just got too religious. Amen? We're too religious. And we're not enough surrendered and submitted. We're not enough. Well, when you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, you better be ready, amen, to give it everything you got. Let this mind therefore be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and became a servant, took on the likeness of man. That's not an exact quote. Go home and read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. You'll find out what real religion is all about. It's surrender its submission, its desire. He became obedient to the will of his Father, even to the point of dying on an old rugged cross. How many of you are willing to give up the pleasures of the world? How much of America today is out enjoying their Melbourne's orchards? They're over in Harford County at the places they got down in Baltimore County, Valley View Farms, and they're up in Newcastle County. They're just some hauled off down to the ocean this weekend. They got things, they got Halloween goings-ons going on everywhere, and they're everywhere. They're doing everything, and they're enjoying the pleasures of the world. You see, now, Pastor, you're being judgmental. No, I'm just preaching truth. Amen. Everything today is more important than Jesus. Amen. Remember when Brother Danny Hill was here? If I didn't remember anything else that he preached, I remember this. He said, America has got a new golden calf. Only it's painted green. And has John Deere on the side of it. Because Sunday has become the day of taking care of yard work. It ought to be the day of taking care of what's on the inside. We've become too religious. But you know, there are some that are too lost. I know he saves to the uttermost. But he saves those that will call upon him. Saves those that will surrender and those that will submit to him. You can be so lost that you don't want to be saved. Amen? When people hear the gospel and they reject the gospel, when they see Jesus and Jesus has been presented unto him, as Pilate brought him out and said, "Behold the man," and they say, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with him." We don't want him. It's not that he can't save them. It's they don't want to be saved. You say, I don't understand that, preacher. I don't understand that, pastor. What are you talking about? Turn over in Matthew chapter 19. Verse number 16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying. But when the young man heard it saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what? Today, some people reject Jesus because they're just too lost. They just don't want to give up what they have. They've sunk so far in sin, they're sucked so far away from the truth. They would reject life and believe a lie. They would reject Jesus and cry for Barabbas. America today, they aren't crying, give me more Jesus. America today is crying, give us more Barabbas. We want more Barabbas. Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. We like Barabbas's religion. We'll teach our kids Barabbas' religion. You know, the atheists right now have got a movement going that would make it, and they're fighting hard. Richard Dawkins and some of his proteges in atheism are trying to get laws passed that would make it illegal for you to teach your children about Jesus. And we think all this, that's just one of them rumor mills. That's just one of them conspiracy theories, and that's just some of this nonsense that's going on. No, it's a reality. Give us Barabbas! Barabbas is one of us! We don't want that Jesus fella. Give us Barabbas. Too lost to get saved because they won't surrender their pride. They won't surrender their possessions. They won't surrender their positions. They won't surrender their popularity. I don't know. I think of a few more P's to probably come up with to alliterate with. But they're just not willing. And they won't give up. That rich young ruler said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Amen. So important that he told him twice. John 3:3 and John 3:7. Ye must be born again. And people say, "I don't need that. I've got all I need. I don't believe that. I've got all I need." Pilate said, "Behold the man. Behold the man." And some couldn't see Jesus for who he was, for they were too familiar. Some couldn't see him for who he was, they were too forgetful. Some couldn't see him for who he was, they were too religious. Some couldn't see him for who he was, they were too lost. John seen him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That's who he was. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church in Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, he said, he's the second Adam. The first Adam became a living soul. The second Adam became a quickening spirit. Behold the man. One man had brought sin into the world, and because of sin, he brought death into the world. But the second Adam, behold the man, will bring life and abolish sin and abolish death in his body forever. Behold a man, a beaten, bloodied, and mocked spectacle that stood before them. And Pilate said, "Behold the man." And they didn't recognize the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the altogether lovely one. They didn't see him for who he was. God's only begotten son. The gift of life to a lost and a dying world. Behold the man. They didn't see him as the only door to eternal life and the only way to redemption. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song.